Let us all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, who loves us, while we're apart from you in sin, you found us. And you have taken up the sins in our stead, and with your precious blood you have cleansed all our sins forever, so that we will never be judged for our sins. And you have saved us without any effort on our part. You have made us your heirs of your inheritance, and you have given us the citizenship, the glory of your kingdom. At this time, as brothers and sisters who have received salvation through your precious blood, we have gathered here to praise you, your grace, and to learn the words that you were about to want to teach us, so that we can continue to share in fellowship in this holy group. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to watch over each one of us and always lead us to where we need to go in our spiritual walk. And pray that no one in this group will fall away from your grace and will continue to serve you in our life in this world and never be shaken or tempted by this world, and continue to seek after your glory and devote our lives to you for the rest of our lives. And with this new year that you have granted us, and with the rest of our lives, we pray that we continue to trust your love and grace, and pray that you'll continue to watch over us and guide us in our lives. And also pray that more new souls will return to you and be saved. And we pray for those brothers and sisters who are not able to come today. Those who are in sickness, please heal them. And those who have hardships of all kinds, please grant them your grace so that none of them will fall away from the fellowship. Also, pray for all the churches throughout the world. We pray for all the missionaries and churches abroad who are working through hardships to evangelize your word. And we pray that we can all continue to fulfill your will in our lives with your help. At this time, also we pray for the right words that our hearts need for nourishment, so that we are continue to depend on you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Let's go look at Book of Psalms. And chapter 94. Psalms chapter 94. Psalms chapter 94, from verse 1 to the end, we'll read. Chapter 94, from verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. O Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. Yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. That you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Let us read together. He has brought on them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. We'll have the choir sing. Let's look in the Bible. Old Testament, Psalms, chapter 89. Psalms 89. Let us read verse 47 together. Remember how short my time is, for what futility have you created all the children of men? The year is already gone, and the new year has already begun. Today is the first Sunday of this year, during the winter retreat. And all the churches throughout Korea have gathered, and we gather to thank all the graces given to us by God and all the everything else that God's given us. And we all had a chance to reflect on things that we did. And we also think there are many things that we should be thankful for, but there were also things that we regret from the past year. So that we had a chance to things that we had chance to repent things that we have done wrong, so that in the new year we can step up and with a refreshed mind, so that we can continue to live in God's will with more yearning and earnest and stronger determination, with a better and new plan. If you weren't able to attend the winter retreat, it is all the sermons are in the website. So please make time to listen to those sermons. And the time that God has granted us is passing by quickly, and we don't have much time left, and we all know this. So today, we're going to, just as based on what we just read today, we had a short title, as in Short Life, and also Eternal Hope as a title. This verse, Psalms 89:47, says, "Remember how short my time is." The time that God has given us, what do you think? Do you think we have a lot of time in this world? It's very short. And he also says, "For what futility have you created all the children of men?" And we can be 70, maybe 80 years. As we live in this short life, we go through many hardships, difficult times, and pain through that life. But that life is also short. And also in vanity. He says, "What futility have you created all the children of men?" The short life of in this world, if you ask God why he made life so short. In the Bible, there are answers to this question. And as people who are created in His image, why are we living such short lives in this world? And why not only short, but it is full of hardship and labor? Why did God make it so? And there is an answer to this question, so we're going to think about those answers. Let's go to the next chapter, Psalms 90, from verse 1 through 3. I'll read to you. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It says, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The verse here and there is maybe conflicting in nature. You know, this short life, life in vanity, and then it's also a dwelling place in all generations. Dwelling places where we live. He has become the place where we live. So as we live in this world for a short time through hardships and sorrow, it doesn't end there. But it is a stepping stone in going to God. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. Before He created the universe, it was Him who had given everything from everlasting to everlasting. God has no beginning and He has no end. Therefore, it is described as eternity. Eternity, it means that there is no starting point. When did God exist? It was before eternity. It says here in this verse, even from everlasting to everlasting, even in the past, in the future, He will always be there. And it is the God that will be our dwelling place. It is God who created us in His image, because He wanted to invite us to His kingdom to be in eternity. But in verse 3, it says, You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam committed sin, He says He shall return to soil, because he declared that we would all go through death. And Ecclesiastes 12:7 says the dust will return to earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. When people would say someone dies, they have returned. Where do they go back to? They have returned to where they come from. They come from God and return to God. Our life is, says people return, O children of men. God created us in dust, and dust will go back to its original form, to the soil. As people, when they die, the flesh returns to dust. But the spirit, because it is given by God, it will return to God. But before, it says, but then, before that, remember. And you have to remember what the purpose of life is and understand it. And be prepared to enter the eternal place of God. Therefore, when we come here first for a moment, few moments, and return, that is the fact. And I, in the U.S., I went to a museum, a creationist museum. It is a place where they had displays of how biblical evidence of creation. And when you go in, it says, where have you come from? And where do you go? And what do you live for? There is a verse that says that. And he says that we need to know that we came from God. And that's something that a lot of people just don't realize. And what do you live for in this world? We live for trying to understanding what God's given us and the grace He's given us. And because God says that those who follow His will enter the eternal kingdom. And we all return to Him. But He's asking, do you know that? We have to know this. And people live in a short time frame, and God is in eternity. And all the things that God had planned for us, or the mankind, we have to realize what it is. God did not create all of us for nothing. It says that in Psalms 49, the man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish. This is what how God described those who don't believe. And because all the animals were created for mankind, whether you eat it or you keep it as a pet, whatever purpose, it was created for the purpose of man. And but man, as man, we are here to attain eternal life. Let's go to Psalms 93, verse 2. Psalms 93, verse 2. Let's read together. Your throne is established from of old. You are from the everlasting. It says, your throne is established from of old. The throne is a place where they lead and direct. He doesn't just sit there, but He leads the entire mankind in the world. And also the universe. He has control over all things. And He has dominion over the history of mankind as well. And the throne, when He says it's that established, it means that God's wisdom and God's will be followed through. And when it is established, it says that also says you are from everlasting. It says from everlasting to everlasting. God is eternal. Here, the everlasting is a word that has nothing to do with mankind. Because we live in a short lifespan in this world, so it is impossible for us to truly understand. Let's go to Psalms 102. Psalms chapter 102, verse 11. Let's read. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations. He says, my days are like a shadow that lengthens. It means when the shadow lengthens, it means that when the sun sets, that's when the shadow becomes longer. And moments later, when the sun goes down, the shadow completely disappears. We are like the shadow that disappears. That's what this also means. It says, my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. And they said, God, life is like grass, and it's like a flower. First Peter 1:24, it says, all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers. So when he says, you know, grass, you know, even though it's fresh at this point, but it withers away, and it is like a flower that also falls away momentarily. That's why he says, our life is like grass that withers away. And it is something that it's like a dew that stays on quickly and quickly evaporates. It says, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever. Endure forever. Even it is not just the Lord that endures forever, but because our lives, our spiritual life has been reborn, it's an indestructible seed, so that because of this, so life is like the grass, but it says that the word of God will endure forever. And because that stays with all of us for eternity, even though our lives will wither away, but the seed that's associated with that will not go away. The seed is not a corruptible seed, but it is an incorruptible seed created with the life of God, which will endure forever. And he says, the remembrance of your name to all generations. What does that mean? Remembrance. He says, I am the Lord. That also means that he's a creator, but he's the one who also bestows grace and also who saves. That's what it also means. God's name, it doesn't change as the creator and also as the deity giving, bestowing grace upon all things. That doesn't change either. He says that the remembrance of his name will be remembered for all. First, we must think about how short our life is first. People live like they could live for centuries. Some people die all of a sudden, but they think that, I don't think I'm gonna die like that person. They think that others had no luck when they died. But the person that died had the same thought. But that can happen to anyone. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90, from verse 9, I'll read. Psalms chapter 90, verse 9, I'll read to you. For all our days have passed away in your wrath, we finish our years like a sigh. For our days have passed away in your wrath. It's because all people have sinned, and they all have gained the wrath of God through life. It says that all our days have passed away in your wrath, and if we finish our years like a sigh. Sigh means in a moment. It may seem like living for a few decades may feel like a long time, but to God, if you look at verse 3, the same chapter, it says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. It says, 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday. So these days, 1 year feels like one day. And when it becomes new year, and then a little later, the night comes soon. It just goes by so quickly. To God, 1,000 years is like yesterday, like a watch in the night. From like 12 to 1, that moment, when that happens to that, to God, that feels like that is 1,000 years for God. And so our lives will end momentarily. Go to verse 10. Let's read together. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boost is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength they are 80 years. When this was recorded about 3,000 years ago, that's when, this is after the flood. Remember, their lifespan had decreased dramatically since that flood. So the lifespan become about 70 to 80 years. These days, because of the development of the medical technology and a lot of healthy food now too, it is increasing a bit. But I have been to many places in the world, but the average lifespan, there are places where it's only 50 or 60 years. There are places where it's even less than that. Because all the environment is not the same, and some places are just so poor. So there are a lot of people that leave or die early. Some people die when they're young adults sometimes even. And overall, the lifespan would still be around 70 years. It says, for by strength, reason of strength, they are 80 years. That's probably people that are a little healthier. So, either way, the life is too short. It says, their boast is only labor and sorrow. So, living 80 years is nothing to brag about. When you ask someone in that age, ask them what they think about or remember, is there anything they can brag about? Say, Grandpa, you lived for a long time. What do you think about your life? And he said, nobody lived a harsher life than I did, is what the grandpa would say. That's all they remember, is all the hardships. People who are poor, with the rich or poor, they're always full of worries and hard work. And there are lots of sorrow and sadness throughout life. It says here, it's labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and And our life that's 70, 80 years long will be soon cut off. So verses like this, this is all verse that's meaningful to all of us. Let's go to verse 12. Let's read together. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It says, teach us to number our days. So those who live 70 years, if you calculate that, not just money, but you need to calculate this as well. So I try to calculate this often, so I know. So 365 days times 70, what is that? Have you done that before? It's about 25,550 days. Is that a lot of days? But you have to calculate in the hours that you sleep. And you spend about a third of your life is spent sleeping. And think about time that you sleep in the bathroom. Think about times that you worry about things. So if you divide that in half, that will be 10,775. And of those, how many hours do you think you spent being happy? Probably not that many days or hours. Our life is really full of labor and sorrow. It says we'll be cut off. It says that teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart wisdom. We have to remember that our days don't just end in this world. Our life in this world, he made it short. And because he didn't want us to have hope only in this world. Because of sin, this is a cursed land by sin. And God wanted everyone to return to Him so that we can look to those things that are not in vain, but those that can last forever. So Luke talks about the prodigal son, and he came back as a beggar. He was almost about to starve to death. He was trying to steal from something from the pigsty. And this is the way we look. We look before God's eyes. We are like the beast. Is that where it ended? No. The prodigal son, he knew his father was rich, and even his servants were eating well. And he says, I can't die like this. And he believed that his father would forgive him. And he returned to his father, had the courage to walk back as a beggar himself. He had smelly clothes on him already from the pig's den, and he returned to him as is. When he came out of his father's household with a lot of money, but he wasted all that, and he came back. But the father never forgot the son. And he continued to wait for his son to return. He says, come home. We have left everything, God. And we're like the prodigal son who have thrown everything away. But God wants us to return because he has completely wiped out the sin in his view. That because he has saved us, he has forgiven all our sins. He doesn't want us to forget. And he just wants us to return to him. So as we remember this, no matter how sinful we are, we will not be going to hell because of the amount of sin. It's not the sin that will make us go to hell. And you don't go to heaven by doing righteous things and good deeds. Not one person will be able to go to heaven with good deeds, whether you did it or not, no matter how much sin you have committed. God has already forgiven all sins through His only begotten Son for eternity. Within the grasp of the Lord, He had received twofold of what. So God just wants us to return. So the prodigal son, when he returned to God, the father always looked toward the east and always waited for his son to return. And the father saw him first. And he ran to him, he hugged him, and he kissed him. And the son was very... And he said, I have sinned. And I don't deserve to be called your son. And he said he asked him to take him in as his servant. But father said, no, you are my son. And he took off the clothes and he said, give him the best clothes we have. And put a ring on him and put the new shoes on his feet. And the fact that he put new shoes on, he says that asking his son to never leave him again. He said they brought a fattened calf and killed it. And in order for them to be merry and joyful, there has to be a sacrifice. Just like a fattened calf, Christ, Jesus, he had to be sacrificed for our joy. When we are in joy, God is also joyful. So everyone in the household, they were happy about what had happened. That's why there's not one person who will be going to hell because of the sin that they've committed. It is because God has completed all the work of salvation and forgiving our sins, and He's just asking us to return to Him. In this short life of all hardship and sorrow, God did not punish us because we hate us. So it is not God's intention to put us in this hardship, but because parents do not discipline their children, but they do so because they love them, they want them to return. It is not God's intention, because His grace is more than enough to forgive everyone, but we are headed to destruction because we choose to reject God's love and His grace. Some people think or assume that the devil continues to interfere, saying God's not going to save you. You don't deserve to be saved. They do everything possible to prevent you from believing in God. They make you think like if you work hard, they live hard, live religiously, they might be able to go to heaven. But that is not true. Now our life is in vain. You have to think about how pointless our lives are without God. Let's go to Psalms 39. Psalms 39, verse 4. And verse 5, let's read. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. This is the word of King David. Great King David, who created an empire by taking over neighboring nations. He was very powerful, But as he prayed to God, he says that he asked him to make me know my end, and that I may know how frail I am. People feel like they can live without God. They think they're strong enough to live without God. Napoleon, as he conquered nation after nation, he says that there's nothing impossible. As you, many of you know, he was the tip of the arrogance for a man. But after he lost the war, and as he lived in an island, he says, I have failed. How many people have declared their allegiance to me, but they have all deserted him. He could not do anything before things were happened to him. And he said, and he says that Jesus, you have won. Napoleon, during the war, he carried books and he never slept much. And during the war, he always read a book. And the last book apparently is the Bible. And he says, we're not sure if he actually understood the gospel. But he says that Jesus of Nazareth, you have won. And that's what he had said before he died. But in David here, he says that, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. So my end, and he reminded himself that there is an end to his life. And a lot of people don't realize this. They think they can live in the world forever and do anything. And even rich people, those people with authority and power, they all have disappeared from this world. And once they know that there's going to be an end, there needs to be preparation that needs to be made. Is what is the measure of my days? Knowing how short the life is, he's asking God to let him know how short his life is. This is something that people choose to not think about. It says that and you have made my days as a hand breadth. If it's hand wide as your hand, then we realize how short the life is. It says, certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. Making a lot of money, if you think you can live your life finally, and then you can just die right away, it's all useless. Having authority and power, how long do you think that will last? He says his first state is but a vapor. So knowing this is wisdom. In Job 7:6 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. So if you look at a weaver, in the swifter goes back and forth. You've seen that before, as you see something getting weaved. So sometimes it's so quick that you can't even see with your eyes. It says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. He's saying that my life's going to end quickly. And Isaiah 38:17 says, it was my own peace that I had great bitterness. So it says that my life will end in a moment. How appropriate is this? And Job 9:25 says, my days are swifter than a runner. Runner is someone who carried mails for people back then. how fast they run. In order to get the mails delivered, they can't just hang around in the house and just have fun. Here's a letter, and they run quickly as possible. There's no need for them to know what the letter is saying. So in Job, he said, "My days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good." This is a very interesting description, but so true. We don't know what is good in life. And James 4:14 says, "Where you do not know that will happen tomorrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." This is what life is. It's like a light that just gets extinguished quickly. And Proverbs 17:1 says, you do not know what will happen to you tomorrow. It could be 1 year later, it could be 10 years later. People plan out for a long future, but no one knows what the future holds. So what do? So don't plan for things in this world that's useless. But we have to realize that everything is in God's plan. We have to know, be able to discern what God's will is, and we have to live by God's will. When you live by God's will as you live in this world, God will continue to give us glory and give us protection and allow us to, and then eventually take us to His world. And Luke 19 talks about a rich man who made a lot of money. If you look at them, they don't just make money, but there has to be a lot of effort that goes into making that money. That's how they become rich. But now they say everything's good now. And he says, "So you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Then whose will those things be which you have provided? He says, this night your soul will be required of you. No matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much wealth you have gathered, how much authority you have, is that truly yours? This is why 21 says, "He who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God." Jesus Christ is our wealth. He's our treasure. And He is one that's given us the eternal wealth. We only one chance at life. And the shadow of death approaches everyone quickly. As the time passes quickly, in our time on this world, it will be shortened that much. As a new year, we change the calendar, and we don't have many days where we can put up a new calendar on the wall. And when the time stops, He will be here. What's for sure is that not everyone will eventually die. It's true. And every hour, every day, it's becoming closer to us. In this world, there is really no true happiness and no true hope. Some people say that I am dying. And as a time ticks every second, where? Towards death. Our life is getting shorter. That's what it all means. As we live in this world every day we are also dying as well. Towards death. Everyone goes through many sufferings and hardships and sorrows and worries and torments in this world. In the world that's been cursed by God. As we live in this world, we go through so many difficult things and difficult worries. And sometimes even war, and also just terrible things that happen to people. This world, is there really truly true peace and safety? When you watch the news, it makes you feel like the world might end up in war. Before, there were few powerful nations with nuclear weapons. There are about 70,000 warheads, nuclear warheads in this world. Between Russia and the United States, they said, let's try to reduce the nuclear arsenal. A lot of them were reduced, but there's still 20,000 nuclear warheads in this world. And not only that, and they removed all the old nuclear weapons, but they only have the newest, most advanced nuclear weapons are still present, which have more potent power. These are the ones they are still developing new nuclear weapons. In Russia, they have developed a small nuclear warhead which can be enough for someone to carry by hand. And not only that person, but many people capable of killing around that person carrying the nuclear weapon. And they're developing that as well. In the United States, they are trying to also develop more advanced nuclear weapons. And one day, all these will go off. Right now, with the Iran situation, Iraq, also in the Middle East, in the United States, in North Korea, all these, and also Russia, China, a war can occur and start at any time. We are in a time where we can be in a war any time, but we live in a perpetual state of optimism or indifference, where we choose to think that nothing like that will happen. And in Hiroshima, when the atomic bomb was dropped at the end of World War II, tens of thousands of people had died. And there's nothing like that anymore. When the nuclear war will happen, it will be on a different scale. Scientists would say that in 30 minutes, the entire world will burn up in flames. It says we have enough nuclear weapons to burn this earth entirely 100 times. So the world can end at any point as well. On top of that, that's why we shouldn't put hope in this world, because there cannot be true happiness in this world. Let's go to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7. Let's read together. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. When it says rest, things that we see before our eyes may not be related or maybe even opposite of what we expect. So when he says, see this, you don't have to have any emotions about that. Until God is telling us to be patient until his will is fulfilled. It says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So people in this world who have rejected God have prospered and became rich and powerful. And they have also developed knowledge and technology and culture. Things have evolved. He made this world into a prosperous place on appearance. And this is, and even then, people who are evil are prospering. He said, do not complain about this, is what God is saying. Because if you do that, if you compare yourself to these people, it might lead to your fall. If you complain or fret, you might fall into the temptations of this world. We can be caught in it if you're not careful. Let's look at verse 10 together. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. It says, for a little while, the wicked shall be no more. The evil people of this world, those people who appear to be all those things that people have created, everything will disappear in a little while. It says, you look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. We shouldn't lose the sight of what we have to do and complain about what other evil people or the people of the world who prosper. All that is useless. We need to trust God. We have to do what we need to do as Christians. And Job 25 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Those people who are wicked, their joy of hypocrite is very short, for a moment. And the triumph of the wicked will be short-lived. Those people who are evil, who lie, those people who may be happy, but the happiness will not last long, and it will end momentarily. It's just like a dream in a night, whether they're rich or they're king, whatever they are, once they wake up, it goes away. Why did give up the glory of heaven and come into this world in the form of a man? The holy, righteous God, he was born in a mother, in the mother's womb, and he was born and raised as a son of a poor. In the 30 years, he lived a very poor life, very difficult life. And until he was judged to be crucified, and he died in the worst possible way as a person, because of the 30 sins, those people under the authority of the devil, he for us, he received that hardship and suffering. Let's go to Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21. Let's go to verse 7. Let's read together. Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. He's asking, why do the wicked live and become old and be mighty in power? It would be nice for the wicked to die early, but a lot of them live long. So why do they become also powerful? So Job is one that lived by the will of God, and he had to endure through the most great hardships. That's why he had asked God why that's the case. Why the wicked live long and be powerful. And verse 9 says, their houses are safe from fear, neither the rod of God is upon them. And they don't have God's wrath, do not affect them. And verse 10 says, their bull breeds without failure, their cow calves without miscarriage. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and harp, and rejoice to the sound of the flute. And verse 13, let's read together. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. So they say they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Do you envy that? During a day of feast, those pigs who are raised for that purpose, they feed them well and they fatten them up so they can kill it on the day of the feast. But this world, those people who are wealthy and powerful are like the pigs that are killed for a feast. It says that they, in a moment, go down to the grave. This is nothing for us to be envious of. God would leave them be. Whoever repents their sin, and God's waiting for them to do so, while during his patience runs out, they will go down to hell. And it says that and this the flies, they only usually live for 24 hours. If you hear about their story, it's very interesting. These flies only live for a day. And they still breed and they do everything they need to do in one day. And then die. This world is like these flies. It's for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. So there are verses like this. Let's look at one different verse. Zephaniah. It's right before Habakkuk. Zephaniah. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. This is a scary saying. from God. Yes, this is what God's going to do at the end. This is how this world that we live in, this is how he's going to judge this world. This is how he described this. He said, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land. In the time of the flood, he judged the world with water. But at the end times, according to Peter, 1 Peter 3, he says that the world will be was judged with water, but the second time around, the world will be judged by fire. He says that he will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, including birds of the heavens, fish of the sea, and stumbling blocks along the wicked. During the flood, the fish in the water did not die, but he says that fish of the sea and birds of the heavens will all die. And all those wicked, he says he's going to cut them off from the face of the land, and everything will be destroyed. So I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. But this day is not that far off. But God wants everyone to return to him. But when the time comes, everything's going to burn. And everything, and so with this, knowing that this is coming, how should we act in this world? God did not create this world for us to live in this world forever. At the time, and at the end, the day of his judgment, it is coming closer at hand. When the time comes, he said the end will come. And the Bible has been translated in more than 3,000 languages. In Matthew 24:14 says the gospel and the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. But Jesus said in 2000, from his first coming, all the nations have received the gospel. And we are the nation at the east end of this world, and the word has been preached. And he says, then the end will come. Once the people have received a chance to become born again, when that time comes, when the people that will enter the kingdom is ready, and the number is filled, there's no more need for God to be patient. He says the end will come. That means a time of grace will end. And it means that the time of his patience has run out. And the time of judgment of this world will come. Romans 2:4 says that he said that his riches, goodness, forbearance, long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So God has been accepting and being patient, and if you reject God's grace, that's what we're rejecting. That's why God's wrath will be upon the world. It's not because the world or the sinfulness that's leading people to their destruction, but it's because they are completely ignoring and rejecting God's love and patience. People are so persistent these days, and they ask him to believe, but they say, I don't want to believe. They say, I'm not going to believe. Once I say, I'm not going to believe. That's what people say. People are so persistent. Those people who do not repent, When you repent, we re-accept the fact that you are a sinner before God. And from that point on, we need to live a life of obedience after repenting, after correcting the way you live your life. Those people who do not repent, those are the people who will bear the full wrath of God's judgment. And the death that will come to everyone, people think that the death will be the end. And soon after death, we will have to see God, face God. Let's go to Hebrews 9:27. Let's read together. And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. And our life doesn't end with that. There's going to be a judgment afterwards. Those people who are not born again, there is going to be judgment. That's why the dust will go back to the soil, but the spirit will go back to God. So we have to remember this. So it doesn't end with death in this world. This short life, there's going to be an eternal world after death. So this in our short life, this is a preparation to enter the eternal world. And when you are born in this world, it is this preparation. The 10 month in the mother's womb is preparation to enter the world, and few decades in this world is the preparation to enter the eternal kingdom, and so that. It is the process to prepare. Luke 16:22 talks about a rich man and there's a beggar named Lazarus. A little later, the Lazarus, he dies. And he was taken by the angel and he went to heaven. But soon the rich man died as well. And he had an amazing funeral and whatnot. But soon he was in the torments in Hades. And he says that he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. If you're not born again, no one, even people that call God their father, will go to hell." And we have to remember, he did not realize that there is going to be an eternal world after death. Animals, when they die, it ends with their death. But for all mankind, life will not end with death. What comes after is the problem. This is why Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for 30 silvers. Did it end it there? No. Jesus said that it would have been better if he had not been born. If he wasn't born, he wouldn't have ended in hell. Would it be just Judas? No, there anyone who has not received salvation. Were they born in this world to have fun? Those people who are not born again, it would have been better if they were not born. Maybe if you're born as an animal, then you just die and it ends. But we are faced with very important issue at hand. So for all people, there are two different types of worlds, one in this world in a short period of time, and eternal world after death. And the Bible talks about the eternal kingdom and eternal hell, and there's details about those both. And he said, Matthew 25:34 says, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." From the foundation, meaning the time of the creation. He says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. In verse 41, he says, "Then he said also, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels, to the one on the left side of the cross." This is what Jesus said. Those people who have enjoyed all the wealth and comfort of this world, they may have done that, but soon after, they will be cursed and put into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So the devil, the hell, was not prepared and created for mankind, but for the devil. But those people who are not born again, that's the only place they can go. Think about how serious problem, but the fact is, this is. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. Let's read. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this is the earth that we live on, our body is our own individual house. And the house needs a roof. Our hair is our roof. And we need to have, and we need windows. And we have our ear for our telephone, our kitchen, our mouth, a boiler, and we have the... This is a house. President Lincoln, he was getting old and he was walking with a cane, and someone said, "President, are you comfortable?" And President Lincoln said, I'm not sure, but this house is about to fall, so I'm trying to support it with a cast." And so with age, things, foundations start to become shaken. There's an interesting expression. Our body, but this house will be destroyed when we die. And also there's also a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Once we die, we'll change our clothes into the eternal clothes and enter the eternal kingdom in the heavens. So we have an eternal house, and we all have the hope of entering the eternal house. And Hebrews 13:14 says, "For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." So we seek what? The one to come. And 11:6 talks about, and he says, he's prepared for a house, new heaven and new earth. And God has prepared this holy land and kingdom for us. And from John 14, talks about how it's going to... people are worried about that. So they said, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God and you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." So he said there are many... Let's say, if there's no place for you to stay, he would have told you. He said, "There are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Where I go, and the way you know." He's promised that he will take us with him where he will be. And this is the hope that we have been given. That's why Rome 8:24 says that, for we have saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. So for why does one still hope for what he sees? So true hope is in something that is not seen, because something that is seen is going to go away, so they cannot be our true hope. Only thing that is, he says, what is seen is not hope. So we're trying to tell people about the hope that we cannot see. And God, Bible talks, the scriptures text in detail about that hope, that promise that has been given to us. When Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image, in image of the God he created in him, male and female. He wants to take, want us to, he wants, he was, we were created in his image so that we can enjoy the glory that he has prepared for us. Even though we have sinned, God did not abandon us. We have died in sin and we're judged. Then the hell, eternal hellfire will be there. So in order to save us from this, he has sent his only son and allow him to die on the cross for us. And he did that because he wants to give us the eternal hope, not in this world, but in the eternal world and kingdom. He wants to give us the inheritance of the kingdom. That's why 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God, Father, our Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This world is defiled, and this is corrupt. The world is corrupt that will burn away soon, but to us he has given us an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that will not go away. For us, in order to prepare, he has prepared the eternal kingdom and he has promised us eternal glory. And without that hope, it will be the saddest thing in the world. And 1 Corinthians 15:9 talks about how we are with the we are even worse off than people in the world if you're not born again, because many Christians were persecuted to no end by the people of the world. But if that was all there is to life, we would have been even worse off than people of the world if there was no true hope. God prepared, because of that hope and promise, in order to take us to his eternal kingdom, he has allowed us to receive persecution and hardship as Christians. And Luke 12:34 says that he knows that what we go through as Christians, we are having sometimes we are in fear, sometimes there's no need to fear, God's telling us, because God's telling us that God has prepared the kingdom for us. And that's going to be the true hope for us as we live in this world, so that we can just look toward that hope in this world. And it says, surely goodness and mercy, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is what David said in Psalm 23. David, he truly sought after the eternal kingdom. And the Revelation talks about how there's a new land and new earth, new heaven and new earth. And it was shown what the new world would be. And that's the place where God will reside with, live with us forever, where we can see God every day. And he says he will wipe away our tears, so that there's going to be a place where there's no more sadness, no more death, and no more suffering, no more crying, and no more pain. This is a place where all the first heaven and first earth had passed away. And because all the things, first earth and first heaven had passed, and without the hope in the eternal kingdom, it would have been sad. But we have that eternal hope. So we need to have no regrets about what's going on in this world. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Titus after 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Let's read together. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, Eternal hope of eternal life. The hope of living with God forever. And it's this promise from God who cannot lie. And something that's been promised before time began. The promise of God is the eternal hope of life. And this promise is eternal. And he is going to showing us how he's going to take us to his eternal kingdom. In Colossians chapter 4, he says, "These are my fellow workers for the kingdom of God." This is how he described his fellow brothers and sisters. We are the fellow workers who work for the kingdom of God one step at a time, and that day is not far off. While we live in this world, we continue to work for the kingdom of God in time. We continue to work for eternity. We live in a world of material things, but we continue to live for the eternal things. As Christians, we are those people. Now, we know that his second coming is very near at hand. It's Romans 13:11 says that, "Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than we first believed." The time of his coming is so close by, and this is the most appropriate verse for this time period for us. He says he talked about the signs of the end times, and everything that he had prophesied has all have come true, and he can come anytime now, because everything has been fulfilled in our lifetime, before the one generation passes until the beginning of the final signs, and this is our time in our generation, and time of second coming is so close at hand. And Hebrews 10:37 says, "For a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." Let's read together. "For yet a little while, yet who is coming will come and will not tarry." Let's always think about this, because he will be coming soon. He has promised. He says that yet he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That's why Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from dead, and Christ will give you light." And if you're sleeping like those who are already dead in this world, we have to wake up. When the light of life shines on you, you have to realize that it's time to wake up. We cannot be asleep in this world. He says, therefore, he says in 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." He says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You have to discern what is right and wrong. We have to redeem the time, because days are evil. The time that goes by will not come back. And our time to live for God and to serve God and to evangelize to people who are not born again yet, the chances are coming short. That's why during the end times, we have to wake up and we have to... that is doing what we're supposed to do as Christians, starting tomorrow, as the first, our first Bible seminar is of the year is starting tomorrow. Let's do our best, pray together, work together, and evangelize together, and work hard to make sure that more people are becoming born again. Now with a new year at hand, we don't know if he's coming this year, but whenever he comes, let us live so that we won't be ashamed of meeting God. Let's tithe well. Let's do tithe well together, well, the right way, without lying. Let's offer for the offerings for the world missions. If there's a bonus or if there's money, don't think about where you would spend the money, but spend it for the world missions. I've seen brothers and sisters many times over and over again that who continue to do so. This is the most wise thing to do, because God will pay back in abundance. He says, "Seek the kingdom of God," because he will add to it. And those people who seek after his kingdom, he will provide everything that they will need in this world. So for this year, this is as we begin the new year, let's refresh our minds and refresh our determinations, and let us continue to serve God and continue to devote our lives to God. And once our heart's determined, let us not change that heart and continue to move forward. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, who's full of grace, in this time, thank you for saving us. Because you have given us the eternal hope of entering the eternal kingdom in glory. Thank you for that grace. Let us never stray away from you and always look to the glory of your second coming and continue to stand before you. Allow us to not be ashamed, and always so that we can receive. And in every family, God, please bless everyone and allow them to live for God and allow them to serve in the church. And starting tomorrow, there's going to be a first Bible seminar of the year. Please be with them, be with everyone, and with the seminar, so that many people will become born again, and that will be, and you'll be glorified through this. And please use all of us for this purpose. We pray all this in your name. Amen.